I'm Leslie Wise, and this is Ethics and Jurisprudence. We are in the midst of discussing the doctor-patient relationship and the obligations of the doctor to the patient in that relationship. Thus far, we have discussed confidentiality, guarantees of cure, discussion of payment, and we want to continue with that little shopping list today. I have some kind of shorter topics that we'll spend only a few minutes talking about. They don't require a great deal of discussion. But we want to make sure that you have a sense of what obligations we as doctors of chiropractic have to patients. In consideration of techniques, chiropractors are not unique, I'm sure, in that we take fairly standard techniques and sometimes make alterations in various procedures to suit our own particular individuality. Certain adjusting methods we may alter a bit to fit our particular needs. Sometimes it's altered because of patient considerations. For example, a very large patient, heavy, big patient, may require some alteration of a standard method. Adjusting a child may require alteration of a standard method. Or adjusting a geriatric patient may require an alteration. So chiropractors, I'm sure, are not unique in altering techniques to fit the patient, and maybe to fit some consideration of our own. For example, our size. If we're adjusting a patient that is much, much larger than us, we may have to do some alterations. Alteration of patient position, alteration of the way we thrust, alteration of what our contact points, the segmental contact points, and contact points on the doctor's hands. All of those things can be altered without essentially altering the procedure or the intent of the procedure. What we're discussing here is the business of experimental techniques. If you are a chiropractic innovator and have developed some new method of analysis or new method of providing an adjustment, new method of locating a subluxation or correcting a subluxation, which is substantially different from standard techniques, you may be using an experimental technique. One of the things we would say about experimental techniques is it's okay to do experimental techniques. The obligation we owe our patients in that regard is that we make sure they know it's an experimental technique. We would need to identify any elements of the procedures that we are doing that may be experimental. This is sort of built into our informed consent. As part of our informed consent, if we're using an experimental technique, we have to divulge that to the patient and give the patient the final say on whether or not they want to be experimented on. And again, there's no prohibition about experimental techniques. It's just that we must inform a patient and get the patient's permission to do something substantially different. Now, if you're going to do a chiropractic adjustment and switch your inferior hand for the superior hand, you're probably not substantially altering the procedure. But if you come up with a new procedure altogether, then you certainly would need to inform the patient about that. One of the things that we run into here is insurance reimbursement. Many insurance companies would refuse to reimburse for an experimental technique. They say, well, it's not proven, it's part of the standard of care of your profession, and we don't pay for experimentation. So sometimes we run into that little difficulty. At one point, not too many years ago, the Toughness technique, which many of you may be familiar with, which involves some experimental analytical equipment, a lens device to pick up infrared or energy emanations from the body in determining whether or where and whether there is a subluxation. And then using a small stylus that had some sort of spring device so that you could apply 2 ounces of pressure, 4 ounces of pressure to the area that is subluxated to make a correction. That was considered pretty far out back in the 70s and the 80s. The Food and Drug Administration got involved in that little hoop-de-doo about experimentation, and they declared that the Toughness technique was totally an experimental technique. And then some states' insurance commissioners decided that if it's an experimental technique as labeled by FDA, then certainly insurance policies are not going to pay to do that procedure on a patient because of its experimental nature. Therefore, insurance companies dictated that they were not going to pay for Toughness technique. So if you went to a chiropractor who used Toughness technique and as his primary technique, and you sent in a claim to the insurance company, they would refuse to pay, saying it's an experimental technique. We don't have to pay for experimentation. Anytime a new method or new technique comes up, there's sort of a proving period. One of the ways that techniques over the years have proven themselves and have indicated to all outside people that they are part of the standard chiropractic procedures, one of the ways that has been indicated over the years is that the technique is taught in a chiropractic college, at least one chiropractic college. If it were taught in no chiropractic college, it may be determined experimental, as was the Toughness technique. And however, if it is taught in at least one chiropractic college as a standard procedure, then you may have a good argument that it is not an experimental technique. If a technique or procedure is taught in several chiropractic colleges, or many chiropractic colleges, or most chiropractic colleges, then generally there's no argument whatsoever that it is a standard procedure, it is not experimental. Many techniques have been around for years, they're taught as part of just standard procedure, and there's no argument whatsoever that those are just the part of the standard of care, part of the normal armamentarium of moves and procedures that chiropractors may use. Many states may have some regulatory issues about certain procedures and certain methods. In South Carolina, the State Board of Examiners has approval of every technique and every machine or mechanism that is used in the practice of chiropractic. Part of the state law regulation is that any machine or any procedure that is used by a chiropractor in South Carolina must be on an approved list. And there is a list available from this Board of Examiners in South Carolina that is a list of approved machines and methods in chiropractic. And when a new laser-oriented adjusting machine comes along, it has to be approved by the board before it is considered this part of the standard of care in South Carolina. And you may find that in other states too, that individual methods and procedures and instruments have to be approved by some regulatory body before they're considered standard. Techniques that are taught in chiropractic colleges would be approved by the college itself. The college is approved by an accrediting agency. The accrediting agency gives you the authority to get licensed in various states. Therefore, it would be considered a standard sort of procedure if it were approved by a college, which is approved by an accrediting agency. So be careful if you, as a chiropractor, create some new method, if you create a new analysis or a new adjusting method, a new instrument of some sort, a new procedure, that you have it approved by the proper officials before utilizing it, expecting insurance reimbursement. The other thing is you must alert the patient that you're using an experimental technique. Let them know. There's no prohibition. It's just that they have to know and have to approve the fact that they're being experimented on. So to back up and give a summation of our discussion here, we would say that the chiropractic patient has a right to expect from an ethical doctor of chiropractic that the doctor of chiropractic would utilize only standard techniques, and if using experimental techniques, that would certainly identify those techniques as experimental and not use them on a patient without the patient's permission. So that sums up the experimentation mode here.